This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, my cat-loving friends. We have got a return visitor. We love him so much, Dr. Jeff Feinman. He is a veterinarian with a degree in molecular biology, so we know he's really smart. And his focus is on holistic, which we love. And he's here today to talk about end-of-life decisions. That is something that we all deal with if we have an animal, right? Their lives are very short. Do we help them? Do we let them go at home? It's a struggle we all deal with. So we are so grateful that he's here to talk to us. We will be right back after this word from our sponsor. Hey, it's Linda Hall from 19 Cats and Counting.
And I'm Rita Reimers from 19 Cats and Counting. You know the expression that cats have 9 lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life.
How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life, and it helps control the free-roaming cat populations, too. You can learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org.
That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. I am your co-host, Linda Hall, here with my gorgeous blonde BFF, my partner in crime. We don't talk about the crime, so. And my work wife, my business partner, Rita Reimers.
I can't believe you said that. Just everybody.
I know. We don't
she
talk
didn't
about the
say
crimes.
It.
No.
The race of tape.
Race the tape. Race the tape. Yes. So you and I both have had a lot of cats.
Yeah,
a lot of end of life.
I was counting up, and just since I moved back here to the Carolinas, I've lost 12.
Yay. That's what happens when you have this many, right?
I know. And I still have 19 here, so you do that.
Yeah, we lose them, we gain them. We lose them, we gain them. It's a never ending conveyor belt.
Linda, you had a bad August and September.
We had a very bad August and September, and I cannot wait to talk to Dr. Jeff about this because, yeah, it's really tough trying to make those decisions. So, thank you for coming back and for tackling this tough subject with us, Dr. Jeff.
Thank you for having me. You know, I love talking to you guys for any reason, any topic. So thank you, thank you, thank you. This is really, really important.
It's our pleasure to have you here.
So the struggle always is, you know, did I wait too long? Do I need to help them, right? And, you know, we mentioned I lost 3 recently. Tiger was 21. We'd been expecting it a long time. He way outlived what we expected, thank God. And he really just went to sleep and it was the end and it was beautiful. And I'm so grateful that I didn't shove him in a carrier and take him to a vet's office with barking dogs and put him through all that. I was so thankful. Unfortunately, that is the first one I've had that's like, yeah, you're 21. You lay down, you went, we were here. It was great. The rest are all a struggle, so we're ready for your input on this.
I would love to start by asking you a question.
Yes.
In what way was Tiger's 21 years beyond what you expected? Was it prognosis and disease or his age or...
It is his age. And I said, you know, it didn't occur to me till you said that. That is kind of a sad commentary that we don't expect our cats to live that long.
And that is exactly why I asked the question.
Yep. You got me. You're right. Once he hit about 17, we're like, we're on borrowed time, baby. Love him while you got him.
As a conventional vet, I'd say after 14, we can say that. And the reality is after maybe 20, can say that.
I mean, yes.
So, I mean, you know, you guys know Gail Pope, and you know, she was adopting 18-year-old cats that were already health challenged, and they lived into their 30s sometimes.
I know, I can't imagine. I keep telling my sweetie pie she needs to live to be 35.
at least. At least that would be nice. Yes, exactly. And I do think we have gotten more holistic. We have started adding a PEA has been a huge, oh my goodness, what an amazing supplement.
Oh, for me personally too, my own.
Yes, we're both now taking it personally. It started with the cats and yes, and we add other supplements. And I do think that that has really helped add to their lives the more natural approach.
Well, we talked a bit about this beforehand, but I think, you know, the bottom line really is go with the flow. And go with the flow means go with the flow of nature, which means working with the body instead of against it. That's what the natural supplements are designed to do. They're not anti. So not anti this or anti that.
Absolutely. And it was a good 21 years, right? It wasn't the nursing home cat that just lays there. He was moving. He was coming up and down the stairs. He was jumping up on things. He certainly wasn't a kitten anymore, but it was good years. It
Missy
wasn't
too.
That torture.
We lost Missy at 20 in January.
Yeah.
And again, they were good years. She wasn't like languishing. It's just one day it was time, you know.
So like I said, this was so much better having them die at home and be with us. But there are times we need to help, right? Where does that line draw and how? Because that's where we all second guess ourselves, right?
Yeah, I think our focus needs to be on health span and not lifespan and not length of life, but quality of life. And that kind of reframes all vet care, because vet care is designed on getting rid of, you know, symptoms, managing diseases, and irrespective of quality of life. And, you know, what I found over the years is that by focusing on quality of life throughout life, they live longer and have they die like tiger died. And I just want to reframe this whole discussion a little bit with the story from my book, Pet to Pet Wellness. And that is a human story. My uncle Aki, who used to travel the world. He had relatives in Russia and Israel and all over the place. And he would always leave from the Jamaica Queens train station because he lived alone. He did this on his own, and he was frail and happy, and he was really a guru. And then one day, just clapped on the train station on his way to Israel. And that was it. It's the energy that enlivens the body just leaves. And that's what happened to Tiger. Is he just went to sleep and his energy just went away. And yeah, and that's kind of what we want. We want to live well until we stop this moment. And how do you make the decision? Go back to quality of life. Go back to that measurement of quality of life that starts as soon as you get a pup or kitten, in this case, especially kitten or young cat or rescue cat at any age. Focus on their beam, behavior, energy, appetite, mood. That's a biomarker, just like any other blood test or other tests that you can get, but the BEAM score is a measure of quality of life and the balance of the flow of the energy in the body. So you focus on that BEAM throughout life, that's how you'll know at the end of life what you should do.
That was amazing. So it's behavior, energy, appetite. What was the M?
Mood.
Mood. Awesome. Oh, that's amazing. That is great. Yeah,
that makes sense. I'm just thinking back to some of the cats that I had to make the decision for, and I think they definitely fit that criteria. But you always second guess. Who am I to play God? Did I take them a minute too soon? Did I let them suffer a minute too long?
They're never. I just went through this with my beloved baby boy, and spoke with a bunch of animal communicators and soul communicators and my dog directly, and everyone's the same thing. They know that we're always doing the best we can. Whatever we decide, they're okay. They're not suffering at the end of life. We may be suffering.
Yes, we are, exactly.
And they may have some discomfort and they may have some pain, but they're not worried about what if. what if I did this? What if I did? What's my... That's not the way animals work. They're living in the moment. And I think that's the key, really, is...
You're right.
Looking at what's in front of you. And that's what the beam helps you do, is it helps you look at life as it is at this moment.
Yeah. I think it helps too if you can bring somebody in that you trust to get, you know, a friend, because Lovey, Rita had a cat who had cancer. They removed it. It came back. And when you're living it, you don't see it as much, right? So I came to visit her. I knew it was getting close and I didn't want her to be alone to do this. So I came to see her. The smell of that cat's body, it wasn't good. And Lovey liked me, but Lovey was never my Lovey until that trip. He came, he laid on my chest. I sleep on her couch because I like all the cats around me. And he laid on my chest and he just looked at me. And I swear everything in my body was like, he's asking for help. And I looked him in the eyes and I said, I got you, babe. And I talked to Rita and she said, I knew it was getting close. And I said, I'm not going to tell you what to do. That is not my place. But she made the decision. We went together. And honestly, it was beautiful because at the vet, I sat in the chair behind her. I was just support, right? And so, what?
I was going to say, I still at that point, I knew it was the right thing to do. But, you know, even all the way to the vet's office, and I'm like, am I really doing the right thing?
Exactly. Ending a life is not something to be taken lightly. But I was sitting in this chair just as a support for Rita. And Rita is at the table with Lovey and with the vet. Huh, and Lovey started reaching for me. So I got up out of my chair and we did it together. And there was real beauty in that. It still gets me. It's been a couple years. It still gets me.
But I think we even got to my vet. And you know, he must do this a lot. But
he was choking.
Yeah, I even got to Dr. Glenn.
Yeah. It was a beautiful moment. I felt like Lovey was thanking me. Thanks, Aunt Linda, for helping. Thanks for being there for Mom. And, you know, I want you up in here, not as an observer. I will never forget that.
And that is so, so important, because that is phase of life that can indeed be the most transformative and the most healing, even though the end is the end. But yet I feel the end with my beloved baby boy and many of our pets is really just the beginning, because the reality is, I think we know by physics and the conservation of energy, we know their spirit and their energetic force is always with us. And I know, well, Mucking gets, you know, because I'll start to cry harder, but
I get it.
I know that Archie is still with me.
Oh, definitely.
And I see him every, well, bit from day.
Yeah, you catch out of the corner of your eye, or I hear... We lost our Chihuahua. It was a year ago, August. And every once in a while, I hear the tip, tip, tip on the hardwood floors. It's not a cat. And I'm like, Sadie, right? Like, they just, sometimes I think they just stay nearby just to let you know they're okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've caught Pumpkin in my peripheral vision every now and then.
Yeah.
He was a special kitty. He died at home, too. You know, it's a great gift when you can let them die naturally, but there's just times when it's not possible and you've got to do
it. You want to end the suffering.
Yeah, if they're uncomfortable, and I mean, I'm a big advocate of homeopathy near the end of life, because homeopathy is transformative for those states where they're restless or you think they're uncomfortable. I mean, I've seen maybe hundreds of cases, and I know Gail Pope has seen hundreds or even thousands, where, I mean, her cats all lived as long as it lived, thanks to homeopathy. You know, Gail's formula is the love sandwich. You love them to death when they're young and throughout life. Choose homeopathy and supportive care throughout life. And then more love near the end of life. And yeah, just eases their transition and eases our minds.
Yeah, it does. It does. And you know, isn't this all we've committed to? We've brought them into our home. We've committed to not only the best life, but the best death, right? The best transition to the next plane. But yeah, this is, we owe them nothing less.
Let's take a little break here to hear from our wonderful sponsor, and we'll get back. I've got a couple questions for Dr. Jeff. We'll be right back.
Pet Greens is proud to support 19 Cats and Counting on Pet Life Radio. Our small family farm produces live organic cat grass, catnip, and soft chew treats packed with green nutrition to help your pets truly thrive inside. We're partnering with pioneer cat behavior expert and best-selling author Pam Johnson Bennett to help indoor cats live their best lives with indoor enrichment tips for their parents.
I'm very careful about the products that I choose because I have built a reputation over 4 decades where cat parents trust me and they know that when I recommend a brand or talk about a particular product, they know it came from my heart and I really believe it. I've done my research with Pet Greens. I love the products. I love the quality. And one of the things that I feel just stands out is the education that Pet Greens provides. They guide you every step of the way. It's a relationship. I know how much they love cats and how much they love cat welfare and cat health, and that's their motivation.
For more information on the benefits of cat grass and catnip for your cat's indoor enrichment, visit petgreens.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting. We're talking about making that end-of-life decision. I lost my mom 2 weeks ago today. So this topic sort of reminds me of losing my mom. But my mom, she went at home, I think, the way we wish our pets would. At home, you know, in her surroundings. And, you know, she was fine until she wasn't. She didn't linger. She wasn't sick for a long time. But it's those ones that linger and the ones that are sick. And we, you know, try to figure out where do we draw the line and say, okay, that's enough medication and care. And it's better to just let them go. Dr. Jeff, another question I have is that a lot of time these vet's offices, like, they aren't letting you be with your cat or dog when they put them down. How important is it that we be with our pets?
That's a great question. And I think the answer to that question and your previous question that I didn't answer is you've got to do what feels right for you. Because whatever you do is going to be okay with your community. I'm a big advocate of home euthanasias.
Yes.
Home to home, where they, you know, can generally.
Definitely. Yes. Both Linda and I live in teeny towns where we don't
have. The kind of the vet office, they take your pet away, and that was kind of the way we did it 20, 30 years ago, but not so much.
Some are still doing it, exactly.
Yeah, and they took him in the back to put the catheter in. Why did they do that?
Yeah, I want him to stay with me and not get scared, right?
Yeah, so they didn't actually euthanize him in the back. They put the catheter in and then brought him back out.
Yeah, and I'm just, you know, the cat's sick, the cat's suffering. This is a strange place. These are strangers. I want to hold them from door to gone.
And you shouldn't be able to, I think.
Yeah. Now, we have seen when Rita's Punkin, and he was a very old man. There was no question he was older than his years, and it was, we all knew. And he kept trying to die at home, and she kept coming in like, Punkin, are you okay? And he kept sending her these clear messages of go away, and he kept looking for places to hide. He wanted to do this on his own, and he did.
But he wouldn't do it in front of me. Anytime I went near him, he looked up at me like, get out of here.
Exactly. Exactly. Uh-huh. Trying to do something here, people.
Yeah, they do know instinctively often, you know, that's when they go under the bed or in the closet to keep by themselves. And there are, you know, the ones like my Archie that just always wanted to be with you. And ended up just dying in my arms.
Oh, Dr. Jeff. Heartbreaking. Yeah, I the second cat, about a week after we lost Tiger, we were about to get into a behavior session. We were literally right here waiting to push the button. And my daughter came to the door and said, something's wrong with Inky. His legs won't work. And I got out of the session. God bless Rita. Was like, go, go. And I started calling around. I couldn't get him in anywhere. Again, small town living. I couldn't get him in anywhere until the next day. He seemed to be stabilizing, and I put him on a heating pad, and I was loving all over him. He wouldn't eat. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my daughter had left the room, and he was great for a while. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he was trying to drag himself like to the end of the bed and yelling. And I yelled for my daughter. She came in. She put her hand out. He laid his head in her hand. And he was gone. He was gone. About 3 hours, almost to the dot, from the time she came to the door until he was gone. But it was very clear he wanted his mama. He didn't want me. He wanted his mama.
He was a young cat.
As soon as she got there, he was seven. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but yeah, he's in the backyard next to Tiger. So yeah, but was very clear. You know, he loved me, but I was definitely grandma. That was mom, and he wanted his mom there. And the minute he laid his head in her hand, he went. And I feel like that was such a deliberate choice. Like, I need my mom. Do you agree with that?
That very, very, very frequently occurs. I'm thinking again of Darwin's story, which is key. I've been through a lot, actually. The guardian was a veterinarian. And I mean, you can see the pictures of, you know, when Darwin was passing, just like Tiger did, reaching and wanting to, you know, put his hands on your hand and then just let them
love me out. And we owe them that. We do have one, you know, I respect everybody's decision to make their decision, but we do have one veterinarian in town that will not allow you in the room for euthanasia. It started with COVID, right, and they never went back. And I, over my dead body, I will not do that. You don't take that choice from me, right?
Is that the Is that the same one that put Boo Boo in the bag?
Yep. When he had FIV.
Do you want to talk about that?
I had a cat years ago. They didn't understand FIV as much, and he was a backyard kitty, and I took him to get neutered, and they called me and said he had FIV and he needed to be euthanized. And I went to pick him up, and they had him in a black trash bag.
Yeah, they euthanized him without her there.
Inside a box. And I got out to the car, and I opened it because I needed to have a moment with him. And I lost it like a crazy person and was ripping at the bag and yelling in the parking lot.
We avoid that.
That is not trash. And yeah, it was not my finest moment. But I think that point would be then that you need to seek out the vet that works with you in your ways, right?
Yeah, very, very much. And there unfortunately still is a big gap between some individuals, whether it's a vet or a doctor or that, and the way our mindsets are all evolving. Because really, you know, we're all just awakening to the reality of life. And life is continuum. Death is not the opposite of life. That's the opposite of birth.
That's true.
Birth is the beginning of the continuum, and the end of life is the end of the continuum. But nature and every indigenous culture in the world has done that for thousands of years, but we don't respect that.
Exactly. I think that there's a line. Rita and I have always said we are not against medication per se.
No.
But I think there has to be a blending. I don't think every anxious cat does not need a Prozac. You know, we get that a lot. There are other ways to approach it and things we can do that are preferable until we need, right? If the cat needs and has a neurological problem, by all means. But let's try looking at some natural things first.
I agree with looking at the natural physical things, which is, I think, what you're talking about. So get supplements. But I really, really strongly feel that you need to also look at the energetic things before you go for the drugs, because those energetic things can go way beyond physical stuff and the energetic. And it's going to be in homeopathy and Reiki and acupuncture, whole things that deal with the primary cause for every symptom. We know that. We know that symptoms are a manifestation of an energy imbalance in the body. We know how to modify that imbalance. So why not? Exactly. The answer to that, I think, is why not? Because we go to the vet or the doctor and they say, no, that doesn't make sense. We never learned that in vet school.
Exactly. Absolutely. And your website, where am I? Has all of this great stuff, not just for the animals, but for the people. I loved the 50 ha thing. I actually did that today. Look, it makes you laugh. There's so many things to, I love the word integrative because yes, our animals respond to our energy. We respond to our animals' energy. This is all one thing. I think you're the first person that I ever went to their website and saw as much people stuff as I did animal stuff. That was really cool.
What's the website, Linda?
Yeah, you're referring to Holistic Actions?
Yes.
That's actually the membership site where we teach everyone around the world this approach. My professional site is mainly focused on dogs and cats. But yeah, thank you for mentioning Holistic Actions because that is where we can go and that is where my focus is as far as getting this. You know, I don't even want to say it's a paradigm change. It's a little bit of a shift. You know, we're not going from one to the other. We're integrating both.
Rita was fascinating. It's tragic because her mother's loss was. She said she really noticed certain cats were laying with her comforting
heart.
That's
true.
And her adrenaline and her blood pressure must have been off the chart one night. She was having a very bad, understandably emotional reaction. And she began to have chest pains. And a couple of her males came to her that hadn't
Simba
been.
Simba and Simon.
Simba and Simon and laid on her chest and the pain started to subside. It is such a connection, such an integral thing. And experiencing it was mind-blowing.
And you brought up a really, really important point because what happened there, we can explain scientifically, is the shift from the sympathetic fight, flight, you know, tense up, feel chest pain state to the parasympathetic rest, relax, and restore state. There's nothing better for that than a cat purring or a cat on your chest or think of even. But we can also do that volitionally just with our breath. And cats do it with their
latte.
Breath.
Linda had a cat named Latte. They all called Nurse Latte because when anyone was sick, she wouldn't leave their side.
She would. Yes, the kids got this really bad flu one year and she was on the couch and would not. We were like, you need to eat. Have you been to the litter box? But she was just everybody's nurse. She had to be there to take care of you. We've had a few like that that have been really crazy obvious in their attempts to assist us.
Yeah, they're all individuals and they can definitely, just like we are, and some of them and some of us are really caretakers for others. And they're all here for a reason. You know, they may just bring us to this path that we're on, that we're talking about. It may just be to comfort you when they're passing or when you're passing. Like, you
know. Exactly. Yeah.
What is the website we're talking about? Was that your homevet.com website?
No, I think that was the Holistic Actions website.
That was
holisticactions.com.
But homevet.com also has a lot of really great information. I mean, you are out there sharing and it's amazing. So what would you, so let's say back to end of life, let's say you've got an animal, cat, dog, gerbil, I don't care. You're looking at this beam scale. Tell me how you would walk through and make this decision as to whether or not you need to help this animal move on.
That's a really important question. And I think it starts by quantitating, by looking at your animal's last 6 months. You know, what's the past 6 months been? I mean, I hear so often, oh, he was fine last week. And now they're thinking about euthanizing. It's like, well, that's a lot different than, you know, he's been slowly declining for the past 6 months. So I think the answer is looking at that beam score, looking at the changes in that beam score, keeping that beam score at 8 or above. When it drops, then yeah, then maybe we need to start thinking about things to improve it, first of all, because there are definitely nature-inspired actions that will work when we think there's nothing else that we can do. Sometimes just going out for a sniff walk is all that a dog needs to do. Sometimes a cat playing with a wand toy is all they need, or going out in the patio or whatnot. But yeah, you know, conventionally we look at more good days and bad days, or more good times and bad.
Exactly.
When the bad start stacking up, that's when we have to think about it.
Yeah, more bad than good.
And when you're not able to energetically relieve any perceived discomfort, because sometimes you're a restless kitty may, you know, we may think they're uncomfortable and they're just restless.
True, exactly. Or people will say, you know, my cat's playing less. Well, what else is going on, right? Or, you know, maybe this is, when we first started thinking that Tiger, we were going to lose Tiger, is about 18, and his beam score was definitely on the down low. And then it's like, okay, surprise, arthritis. That's when we started on the PEA, and he was a different cat, not a kitten, but a good, healthy adult cat. And people that saw a picture said, I would never have guessed that cat was 21. He's not supposed to look raggedy, right?
That's a really great point, because you have to put it into context. And, you know, Tiger at 18, you know, that was somebody looking at him out of context wouldn't know that, you know, a few months ago you were thinking, oh, maybe it's time.
Yeah. Yeah, he's getting close. Keep an eye on him. Enjoy what you got. And yes.
But you as the guardian, you know, knew him better than anyone else. You're going to know by monitoring him.
He seemed to still want to be here, right? And I think some of the things sneak up on you. Like, we'll talk to clients and we'll be like, have you noticed any changes? No. You know, oh, and then it's like, oh, you know, he hasn't gone upstairs in a long time.
Yeah, as they're thinking through.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he used to always hang out on the top rung of the cat tree, and now he hangs out on the floor in that bed or on the sofa. You know, oh, well, maybe he's having a harder time getting up the stairs or jumping on the cat tree, right? We got to look at all these indicators. And it's understandable that it happens so slow that we don't notice it, right?
And that's why keeping a journal with the beam score every day is so important, because all those subtle things that we may not notice, and today we're going to notice the trend. And things like not getting up on the table, or being a little bit slower to eat, or a little bit pier than usual. All those things subtly lower the beam score.
And they sneak up on us. We don't see them.
Definitely.
Yes.
Any last words of wisdom for us, Dr. Jeff, on making that horrible decision or not?
Just one. And that one word is love. Because love really is the power, the most sustainable power, the power that's going to both be alive in their bodies near the end of life, but also allow you to make the right intuitive decision, not what everyone around you is saying, but what your love is telling you to do.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Perfect. Thank you so much. We so appreciate you coming back again. Let me put us back on gallery view. There we are, to talk about this topic. It's hard for people to think about, right? You know, having to make that decision, but it's an inevitable part of having a pet in our lives.
Yeah. Yes, darling.
Well, my answer to every medical question is always, it depends. But this one question I can answer unequivocally, and that is that if you're alive, you're going to die.
This is true. Absolutely.
Oh, I remember my sweetie pie, everybody said, how is that cat still alive? She had a horrible ventral septal defect, and it wasn't treatable. They told me she was going to die around 6 months. She lived 7.5 years, and every vet that saw her said it has to be love.
Yeah.
So your point is well taken, Dr. Jeff.
She just loved that baby too well, but that baby wasn't ready to go. A will to live plays a part in every living being.
It sure does. Last night I was studying the effect on mortality of retirement in people, because we focus a lot on the purpose, sense purpose, giving a cat a sense purpose, whether it's eating or pairing or being your caretaker. And that love and that sense purpose really enlivens. I mean, it's like your cat will live for years. Built on the power.
I so agree with that.
thank you
so much for being here. And Linda, thank you so much, especially over the last couple of weeks, being my ride or die.
You got me. You're stuck with me.
Well, now you're my mom. So.
Right, exactly.
And of course, Mark Winter, we have to thank you for giving this awesome spot on Pet Life Radio that we so appreciate. And a big shout out to our sponsors too. We love all of you.
Thank you, Dr. Jeff.
Thank you, Dr. Joe.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me again.
It's always, great. Anytime. You know, open door policy.
Yep, anytime. You can come back every week if you want to.
Yep. All right. We'll take you.
Good. I'll see you next week.
We'll take you.
Right.
Don't forget, everyone, that every single day is Catter Day.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.